Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Good morning, folks. News breaking in every direction. Got a great show lined up for you today. We'll visit with Joel Griffith, Research Fellow on Financial Regulations for the Thomas A. Rowe Institute for Economic Policy Studies at the Heritage, talking about the extension of expanded Affordable Care Act subsidies that appear in the Inflation Reduction Act. There's really not a lot of language in there describing exactly what's going to be done. We're going to get to the bottom of it, but there is some language that says that there'll be an increased number of individuals that will qualify for these subsidies at no cost. So we're going to look into that to see exactly what that means. In the 11 o'clock hour, we'll talk about a couple of things. We have open lines. We want to hear from you. Obviously, the search warrants that were run on Mar-a-Lago last night, Donald Trump's residence in Florida. So, read the Presidential Records Act several times last evening, a number of executive orders going back to the 80s. To try to figure out where this is. There's been a number of articles written that kind of have a timeline of what is going on here, and there's a number of theories, all of which are conjecture at this point in time, because the Department of Justice nor the FBI has revealed exactly what their intentions are and where this case is going. So we'll spend a little time, kind of a primer for you, to better understand what is it that this Presidential Records Act is, what does it hope to accomplish, and what is it about? And hopefully we try and succeed in that regard. So Jarrett Stepman joins us. He's a writer, contributor to the Daily Signal. He'll be joining us shortly here. He writes an article that says that amid record illegal immigration, Alejandro Mayorkas, the secretary to the Department of Homeland Security, continues to insist that the border is secure and it's safe. And no matter what records are broken relative to immigration at the border, this continues to be a situation that reveals itself in a very, very ugly fashion. From human trafficking to drugs being trafficked across the border, fentanyl, enough fentanyl has come across the border to kill every single solitary U.S. citizen in the United States. And the list goes on and on and on. Hundreds of thousands of gotaways. We'll talk about all of that. Well, if this are the ingredients of a safe and secure border, what would it look like if it is not safe and secure? Think about that for a moment, because he keeps telling everybody, congressional hearings, sit down with the media, every time that he has a chance, that the border is secure. Is this just another attempt to redefine this word? Is it contrary to our best sense, contrary to what we're seeing, contrary to what we're hearing? And I guess if you say it enough, maybe people will start to believe it. So we're going to take a break. When we come back, we will visit with Jared Stepman, who is the author of this article, when we return.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back, folks. We're joined by Jared Stepman, contributor to the Daily Signal, who says that among all of the illegal immigration, Alejandro Mayorkas, the secretary to the Department of Homeland Security, continues to describe the border as being secure. I always like to go to the meaning immediately of what secure is: protected against attack of other criminal activity, not subject to threat, certain to remain or continue safe. So, Jarrett, it doesn't seem that any of this is aligning.
No, nothing at all is aligning with that. It's really amazing that he's been actually using this word secure to describe the border since President Joe Biden took office, as soon as he took office, though it seems to describe absolutely nothing that's actually happening at the border. In fact, it's actually getting quite a bit worse since that time, as a number of policies have been stripped away that were keeping control on the border. In fact, just most recently, ending of the Remain in Mexico policy, which was an important critical aspect of getting the border under control in the last 4 or 5 years. Even that's been stripped away just yesterday. So we're talking about a systematic destruction of the ability to enforce the law at the border. And I think that's really been a hallmark of what's been happening with this administration.
I find it curious that no one has challenged him or really asked him to say, well, if this is secure, then please describe for us what unsecure would look like. I mean, I don't know how much worse it can get. I mean, what else is there out there that maybe we start taking border agents as hostages or, bombings on the border? What is there?
It's quite amazing. What we're seeing right now at the border is absolutely historic. I mean, we haven't seen the kind of border crossings that we are now since about 20 years ago. We're now starting to match numbers that we didn't even see then. I mean, the month of June, there was over 200,000 encounters at the border, and that doesn't even account for the fact that many other people have simply evaded any kind of border security. When you put on top of that the fact that many of those who are apprehended at the border are never prosecuted. That's been another huge part of this administration, is that it's a real return to the catch and release policies of the Obama administration, where people are apprehended and then immediately released into the general population. So it's very much, I would actually relate it to the issue of the rogue prosecutors dealing with crime in many American cities, where, yes, the police can bring in people who have committed crimes, but if the law itself is not going to do anything about it, it's almost like, well, did you really do anything at all? These people are right back out in the street. In the case of illegal immigration, people are released into the general population that the law is never upheld. And I think when you combine those things, you can see the toxic situation that we have, where You have a border that more or less is a sieve at this point. You have many cities along the border that are now overwhelmed by the sheer number of people that have showed up. And you have sheer chaos, I think. I think a real undermining of the rule of law in this country.
And by all expectations, this doesn't get much better in the coming days, does it?
No, I think it's actually going to get a great deal worse, unfortunately. I mean, it's hard to imagine it getting worse. But as I mentioned, the administration's ending of the Remain in Mexico policy, which was already kind of on its way out with this administration, which basically forces asylum seekers to stay in Mexico as they are seeking asylum. Now they can simply enter the United States to do that. And, of course, as I said, many people are just simply being allowed in without any kind of control over that. And this is just going to make things worse. I mean, this administration has shown a systematic demolition of the enforcement of border laws. It sends a message, I think, to those who are willing to break the law to come into this country. There's going to be nothing to stop you. I mean, this administration won't stop you. Border Patrol is overwhelmed. And I think that this is only going to become a lot worse in future days, as we're going to see these numbers over and over again until something has dramatically changed.
How does he square his description of the southern border against the description of what Muriel Bowser and the New York mayor are experiencing there? And they don't even have 10,000 folks yet, I don't believe, that have been dropped off in either of those two cities. They're not describing it as safe nor secure.
No, it's actually amazing how the tune really changes when a lot of these cities that normally don't have to deal with being on the border, don't have to deal with this crisis on a day-to-day basis, with just a small fraction of what's dealt with in a lot of border towns of a much smaller size. I mean, you can imagine, you know, how if it's a Washington, D.C. or New York City doesn't have the resources to deal with a flood of migrants coming across the border, well, what about a town of 50,000 people? How are they going to deal with this flood? They've been put under immense pressure to deal with this. And I think, you know, I think it does, I think, reveal, I think, a lot of what is a problem on this, and that a lot of border towns, a lot of border states have basically been, you know, sent out to sea without a life raft. And they're getting no help from the federal government, where a lot of this should be taken care of. I mean, this is really on the administration. This is on the federal government to deal with the border. It shouldn't be up to localities to have to deal with this. They've had a lot of tools taken out of their ability to actually do anything about enforcement. I think it does illustrate the problem when you see big cities like Washington, D.C., New York City, that now have to deal with this in a very, very small way, and simply can't keep up, or simply screaming and yelling for help to get the National Guard to come in. You know, it says something about our larger problem.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I find very interesting. These are all members of President Biden's party, just to point out the obvious, that Muriel Bowser's requesting the National Guard to come out. This has not even been contemplated by anyone along the southern border from this administration.
It is amazing, especially when you hear the Washington, D.C. mayor calling for the National Guard. I have to imagine that, especially if there's a mayor in Texas, especially if it's a Republican, they'll immediately be called, you know, authoritarian or racist or some other terrible thing. That just immediately you have Bowser saying, well, we need the National Guard to help us deal with this problem. You know, almost unaware of like how that sounds to a lot of Americans, especially those who are along the border. I think they could have used help a long time ago, and they're dealing with a much bigger problem currently than just a small number of people being bussed in. And so I think that is quite incredible. I think it shows that this is a very serious problem. This is not just something that affects, you know, Americans of one political stripe. It affects everybody. When you see a huge number of these migrants who are coming in very, you know, serious situation, they're causing a lot of chaos for the services of localities. They're causing a lot of chaos for law enforcement. You know, this is why a safe and secure border is so fundamental and necessary. You know, now we're going to be dealing with this in cities and states around the country, it's going to get very ugly.
Are you surprised that the administration has really stuck to the party line and, in fact, actually has taken measures to make this worse, and they just double down on the party line, and it doesn't seem like the Democratic Party's really that upset about it? I mean, they just keep telling the same story over and over again, and one has to wonder, when does this start to crack apart? When is there going to be a fissure that's, you know, that something grabs hold and takes off? Because it's not doing it in the mainstream media at all. They're not even covering it.
Well, that's part of this, is that it's getting very little coverage from a lot of legacy media outlets that barely even cover this issue, which has been bad for quite some time. You wouldn't know it if you were just reading and watching a certain outlet. So that's part of this. I think it's partially how the Democrat Party right now is very much, you know, being controlled by a lot of the activists who run the party. I think, you know, some of this idea that the President Joe Biden would be this kind of moderate that would unify the country, I think for the most part he's his ears mostly to the activists within his party who think that any kind of border security is offensive, is racist, is terrible, that's unacceptable. And so I think they're simply banking on the fact that they can get away with this at the moment, that they're going to simply accept the fact that they could take serious political reverses, but for them, they think it's worth it, even if they lose a few congressional seats, even if they lose a few Senate seats. I think they're just going to go forward with this and do it. I think they need to placate their activists most of all, a lot of extremists within their party who absolutely demand that there be basically no border security, that this is just that it's unacceptable to them. And I think, of course, there's going to be political consequences to this. But they've done everything they can to suppress us, to drive the narrative and to get this out of the news so that Americans don't pay attention. Of course, with everything else going on right now, it is easy to see this dropping out of the news. But this is a serious crisis. You know, this should be one of the things that's being talked about all the time. It's not being, but until, you know, of course, it affects people very deeply, like we see in Washington, D.C. and New York City suddenly. So I think that they're simply willing to accept the fact that there is going to be chaos, that there will be political consequences. But, you know, it's, you know, full speed ahead.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. There's a part of me that says they're almost willing to relinquish the House, because in that secondary corridor of states that are one state or two states removed from the border, there are a number of House districts where Biden won in double digits that are now within the margin of error. And immigration seems to be an issue that is at the forefront in those particular districts, and it's almost as if they don't even seem concerned.
I think to a certain extent they're willing to accept certain policies. If they think that they can get their way with certain policies, they're willing to take short-term reversals at the ballot box. They assume that these issues will have long-term ramifications that they think will be beneficial, that they're not worried about losing a few House seats or a few Senate seats, and maybe very many House and Senate seats. They probably feel that their losses are going to be bad anyway, so why not just do this? And when you do control so much of the media and so much of the messaging on these issues, they feel that they can kind of get away with what they want. And I think that's really what's created this situation. I mean, I do think that there are going to be political consequences to this. There are going to be a lot of people who say, gee, you know, how can I support, you know, the fact that we have absolutely no law enforcement whatsoever at our border? For a long time, the Democrat Party's message was that, you know, they were fundamentally still for some amount of border enforcement. They keep saying that, but it becomes completely ridiculous to think that when they've stripped away every single policy that makes that even possible. I think that's hard to keep that message straight, that they are at all serious about keeping the border secure in any way.
Yeah, and I guess they have something else up their sleeve to make this worse. I mean, I don't, you know, they're doing the little window dressing right now of paying $10,000 bonus trying to hire Border Patrol agents after they spent months villainizing them, calling them terrorists and things of that nature. The squad just taken out after Border Patrol Now they find themselves down and out in Beverly Hills. They don't have enough people to even patrol the border now, and they're having to pay these bonuses to hire folks, which they're not going to be able to hire, not in this culture, in this environment. They know it, and it's all just window dressing.
It is window dressing. It's really amazing that, that they don't understand why they have a recruitment problem as far as getting new Border Patrol agents when they've just, they threw a number of agents under the bus when there was that incident where they said that they were whipping migrants at the border, and they really did throw a number of agents under the bus. They had a year-long investigation, and they ended up deciding that they were going to punish these guys for something that didn't even happen. It was just a media narrative. The pictures ultimately exonerated these officers, but the idea that they're going to get people to sign up and join, given the pressure that they're already receiving, given the overwhelming situation that they're in, and given the fact they know that the administration is ultimately not going to be on their side. If there is any kind of rigorous enforcement, they may simply be thrown under the bus. They may simply be accused of being racists or being horrible monsters. And I think that, again, it's no surprise that that's happening, but, you almost have to see this as, is there a kind of willfulness to this? Are they intentionally trying to undermine the job that the Border Patrol is doing? Do they simply not care about the fact that we are going to lose a lot of Border Patrol agents who quit or retire, or the ones who will never even join to begin with? And are they simply okay with that? Is this ultimately the policy goal they have, to have an entirely unsecure border that acts as a sieve, that where there is no enforcement, where border towns are overwhelmed and overrun? Is that really what they want here? Because when you look at their entire breadth of their policies, that's what it looks like they're building to. It's hard to calculate this otherwise.
The next card to be played in this political game of poker, I think, is going to be, as it gets worse, they will say, I don't know how they can say this and look at themselves in the mirror, that they don't have the resources available to be able to enforce all the laws. I see that coming down the pike. it's right there on the horizon. It's coming our way.
There's no doubt about this, and I think that is going to be part of their message, that we just have to tighten our belts when it comes to this. Almost nothing else has there been any other kind of belt tightening when it comes to their other legislative prerogatives. Obviously, we've seen a number of pieces of legislation that have showed no restraint whatsoever, certainly fiscally. I think that's, again, it's kind of part of this shell game. They don't want to actually secure the border. They don't want that kind of serious enforcement. They want to simply be able to say, oh, yes, we're doing our best. It's trying circumstances, while behind the scenes they're doing everything they can to kick out any possibility of enforcement. And they're leaving a lot of localities, they're leaving a lot of states high and dry, and basically daring them to do something about this. And to me, that's an abdication of the most basic responsibilities of what we expect from the federal government. This is part of what we expect the administration to do, and it's not doing that job. It's doing the exact opposite. It's making every indication, that the open sign is here. All are welcome. Unless you cross into a big blue city that isn't, doesn't want to deal with this right now, then call out the National Guard. I mean, that's where this is going. And so, it is really, I think, unbelievable to see the administration doing this.
Jared, what's interesting to me, and I think you reported on it not too far back, about that ICE, when they went out and they had 30,000, if my memory serves me correct, potential targets, they were trying to locate and serve them court summonses, and it turned into a complete debacle. They had 30,000 of them. I think they located 600. They did not give them the assets and resources to do what they needed to do. Everybody said that in advance. They knew it. They went anyway, put themselves at risk, and it turned out to be a debacle. And that's the window dressing that really upsets me after having served 40 years in law enforcement, that we're setting up the men and women of this organization to get killed. And to me, that's indicative of a corrupt, misguided, misled organization that will go to the extreme to have folks swallow things that are very distasteful.
I think you're absolutely right about that. I mean, I think, you know, part of this issue is this creation of this. I mean, really, it's not just a breakdown of the law. I think what you're seeing, especially with a lot of the people who are coming over, are very much involved in criminal activity. It's, I mean, we've seen, you know, so much of fentanyl coming over the border. We've seen so many of those who are being brought over by drug runners, human traffickers. It's created problems beyond, you know, migrants and tension, at least in the general population, is brought over a lot of criminal activity. I mean, part of the, and this was kind of an underreported part of the Uvalde shooting, I think, was there was an interesting report that showed that one of the reasons, I mean, there are many reasons why the police were so unprepared for that and seemingly didn't do anything, but part of the issue is that there have been so many in the last year, there have been so many incidents where you have drug smugglers and human traffickers who have caused alarms and basically triggering warnings at the school and so many others along the border, because these drug dealers, what they do is they intentionally go into schools. They go into areas with a lot of people because they know the police are wary to pursue them. They don't want additional casualties. So these drug runners, they go into these situations where a lot of innocent people can be hurt. And so they're dealing with this nonstop at the border. Again, this is the creating this perception of complete lawlessness where criminals are essentially running rampant. And that's what we're creating here. It's not just that we're having a lot of people come over. It's that we're having a lot of bad people, criminal people, that is turning, you know, the United States, a country that we pride ourselves in the Constitution, the rule of law, that this country is different than others. It's making it seem like a lot of the other countries south of the border that don't have that rule of law, that have a lot of chaos, where the average person struggles to get ahead because they're surrounded by criminality and corrupt governments. And I think that is what's transforming this country. It's changing us into something else. And I think what's really, I think, terrible about what's happening is that is going to be the result of this.
One would have to believe, I think, that Alejandro Mayorkas is jealous of banana republics because that's the path he's taken us down. I don't know how to say it any other way.
That's a very, very good point. And, you know, it's sad. You know, there unfortunately, there are many things about the administration right now that's looking like it's turning us into a banana republic. And, you know, again, the saddest thing is it prevents any, like, the average person from getting ahead and doing well, because you're surrounded by criminality, you're surrounded by a dangerous environment, and, you know, it affects everything. It's not just one thing. It affects so many other things as far as law enforcement goes. It's really shameful.
And just one final point. You could not pick a worse time in modern times in this country to have this occur, because of what's happened in the aftermath of the Summer of Love in 2020 and the villainization of police across this country, all of whom, and here in the city of New Orleans, where, you know, hundreds and hundreds of officers down, high homicide rates, reported 170 homicides as of Monday, day 212 of the year, this past Monday, and we're at 170 homicides and 335 armed robberies. But this is a you know, plays out across this country right now. You couldn't pick a worse time than right now to have what's going on at the border and the impact that it'll potentially have exponentially because of all of the other dangerous criteria that we have across this country than at any other time in the history of this country. And that's what I find just absolutely ludicrous.
Talk about a breakdown of the rule of law. I mean, this is the inevitability of mob rule and lawlessness. Is you not only have the chaos at the border creating higher levels of criminality, but we also have the crisis that is occurring in cities across this country where you've had especially violent crime go up by, in some cases, over 100% in the last few years, especially following the riots that took place in the summer of 2020, and cities that didn't actually have a lot of violence before, cities like Portland, Oregon, a city that really wasn't known for having a lot of violent crime, it's gone up by over 200% in the last few years. We've created a situation where the police can't do their jobs. A lot of the good police officers are leaving or retiring, or they feel that their hands are tied. And you have criminals who feel completely emboldened. We have many repeat offenders, especially when you consider the number of rogue prosecutors that have unfortunately been elected or appointed in this country, some of whom have been recalled by voters, but many of whom continue to do damage by undermining what's left of a lot of police departments that have been defunded or have been under siege. They're making it so, I mean, I guess in some cases, you know, why even bother funding the police if you're not going to prosecute a lot of these criminals, many of whom are repeat offenders? And so I think you're absolutely right that this border crisis, it overlaps another serious problem, a wider national problem. With the rule of law and criminality, which is becoming intolerable in large parts of this country. It's not what Americans think. You know, again, we think of ourselves a country that's based on the rule of law, on the Constitution, and I think we are losing that. We're losing grip of that in the last 2 years because of very conscious policy decisions, because of an ideological movement that has pinpointed the police and pinpointed that enforcement as fundamentally racist or malignant. And I think that's been a massive mistake that is obvious, I think, to those who have common sense. Maybe not obvious to, you know, radical activists who actually are courting this and want this, but I think for a lot of Americans, you know, they're seeing firsthand the consequences of this, which are quite terrible.
Yeah, no doubt about it. No doubt. Jared Stepman, thank you so much. We really enjoy your reporting on this issue. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for your insight.
Thank you very much.
All right, it's Jared Stepman, contributed to the Daily Signal. If it's secure now, what does it look like if it's not secure? That's the big question. Love to hear from you. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. We will be right back. Stay with us.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Welcome back, folks, and we'll see what the implications are going to be relative to Remain in Mexico going away. Not that it didn't almost functionally go away anyway, because the Biden administration was really ignoring it, even in contrary to the lower court's decision in this matter. So it remains to be seen. We'll know these numbers as we get into the fall, which historically you tend to see more people coming across, more moderate temperatures, easier for these caravans of folks to come across. It's not as hot, it's safer, and that's their last attempt before the wintertime. So it's going to be interesting to see what ultimately happens. I've got several texts here. Your last guest said the vast majority of people crossing the border are doing criminal acts. That's not what he said. He never once said that. You know, it's amazing. People really hear what they want to hear. What he said was, because of the volumes of people coming across, that number of those that have evil intent, basically, who are criminals and engaged in criminal activity, that number has gone up. And that's all that has ever been said. No one with any credibility talking about this issue will ever say that the vast majority of people crossing the border are criminals, because there's no empirical data to support same. These are legitimate writers of legitimate publications. They just don't say that. So you can think that that's what they're being saying, and you can think that you're going to attempt to discredit them, but you're not. And if you don't think that it's not a problem, I don't know what a problem would look like for you or anybody else that's talking about this. Even, I don't know your political affiliation, but even members of the same political affiliation as the president are now calling out the president on this very issue. Because some very forward-leaning smart governors decided to share the wealth and to share the pain, who were all in favor of what was going on at the border until they started to feel the implications of same. Now, can you believe this? They want to call out the National Guard. Racist, xenophobic reaction to this. Can you believe that? How soon we forgot what others on the other side of the aisle were called when they made the same suggestion. But now, no big deal. Their homeless shelters are overcrowded. Really? You've got little towns along the border that have one public servant that work in these little border towns. One. Read a story about a single government employee. He was the mayor. He was the only employee of the town. They had hundreds and hundreds of illegal migrants coming across and deciding to camp out right there. And here we have D.C. that's on the federal dole anyway, complaining and calling for the National Guard, because this is a crisis now. Same with New York. Of course, while both of they were campaigning for their positions, diversity and open borders were good things. It was great. It was wonderful. Until they had to deal with the downstream implications of same, and now they're having to deal with the economic fallout and a utilization of limited resources available to them at this point in time. Now it doesn't make any sense anymore. Now, how can we have it both ways? If you want to talk about someone who's not credible on these issues, look to the D.C. mayor and the New York mayor go back and look at their campaign speeches and then come back and send that text to me. We'll be right back, folks. Stay with us. Folks, when we come back after the top of the news break, we'll talk about the search warrant that was run on Mar-a-Lago last evening on President Trump's home with Dr. Joshua Stockley, University of Louisiana at Monroe Political Science Professor. Number of ramifications. We'll talk about those when we return. Stay with us.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.